Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's that time again. We just finished Pittsburgh, the podcast out of there with Dot Talk, Greg Roscoe. Now we go into San Francisco, Oakland area, Bruce Kessinger, Sports Talk Saturdays. 347-205-9631. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I swing this thing around, first of all, Bruce, how are you? How can people get a hold of you?
Well, I've been searching the world over, Mark, and I still haven't seen anyone with a Ben Simmons jersey on. I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com and also on Facebook.
And as we give it over to you, Scott, Morgan Roth out of there in Florida, how can people get a hold of you, and how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing great, Mark and Bruce. Glad to be on, as always, every Saturday. You can find me over at southfloridatribune@gmail.com, www.southfloridatribune.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, and on Twitter, @TribuneSouth. The only thing that'll talk faster than me will be any automobiles that run a NASCAR and IndyCar. So if you got it all, fine. If not, listen to the show. You'll get it again, or I'll see it later.
Well, I love that. As we look at topics today, let's start with you guys going at it. In sunny South Florida, the Marlins and Giants 4-game series, 3-4 tonight. Scott, you'll be up there tomorrow. Bruce, any thought to that? Then we'll give it over to Scott covering it tomorrow.
Well, I mean, my thoughts on the series are, it's, you know, we lost to a very great pitcher, and then the hitting came around. The Giants right now are sort of an inconsistent team as far as fielding is concerned. Crawford, believe it or not, is even kind of off. You've had injuries like Longoria, so you've had a bunch of call-ups playing at third base. And I can talk about people who've improved their game mightily. That would be Mike Yastrzemski. And I love this kid, Luis Gonzalez, that they've got up, who's hitting like .326 and won Rookie of the Week. I'm impressed with a lot. There's a lot to be impressed with the Marlins. I do like their pitch. That Alcantara guy is just, he's brilliant. You got to hold on to him. That's like a franchise sort of block there. You're in a sort of a mediocre division. You might be able to finish higher in second place. I don't know. The Phillies obviously firing Girardi. They've admitted that they don't have it. So let's take it from your side there, Scott.
All right. Well, first of all, Sandy Alcantara obviously got the shutout win. And, you know, the only sad part about the whole thing is 8,202 saw it, the shutout win. And yesterday, unfortunately, in a game that was decided by field goals with the Giants winning 15-6, only 6,512 showed up. So your grand total for the two games, okay, folks out in the Bay Area, if you're looking for a five-digit number, okay, for the attendance, 14,714, and the 714 shouldn't be hard to remember because maybe Ruth hit that many home runs, but 14,000 front, 14714, or 8202, or 6512. You got two four-digit numbers and a five-digit number, and today the Marlins have Pablo Lopez on the hill, another good young pitcher. But, yeah, Sandy Alcantara is worth it for sure. And the whole thing about Sandy, though, guys, is the fact that they've got him signed for another 4 years. They signed him to a contract extension. I believe worth like $56 million for 4 years. So what they put around him is another story. But this guy is unbelievable. I believe he's 6-2. And, you know, what can you say about Sandy? Now, hey, if it makes you feel better in Oakland, though, you guys should be able to have some really good attendance figures because Boston at Oakland drew 17,852. So if you're looking for another five-digit number, 17,852 out there, outdrawing the 14,714. So you guys can only hope to live off of the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, and then the Oakland A's won't be going anywhere. You can stay in the Bay Area because you have good attendance. Don't hold your breath.
Well, here's what I want to start with, Bruce and Scott, because Scott, you bring up an interesting thing. I want to talk about the attendance across the board. There was a figure that came out this week. Oakland's got the worst attendance in the league. The shocker is the second team in this thing, and I didn't think so. They got probably the best stadium in baseball, but Pittsburgh is number two. you know, passing some of these other squads and everything. But I think baseball really needs to look at this. I mean, I did an interview yesterday, and I don't know if you guys heard it, with Mike LaValle, former Pittsburgh Pirate, standout with Bonds and all those guys. And to this day, him and I both think that Sid Bream was out. If he had instant replay, Pittsburgh would have been playing Toronto in the World Series. But that's a story for another day. But the problem with baseball is we're not addressing this issue here, and it seems to be attendance. And this attendance, Scott, you and I talked about it, you know, on the Florida show. Bruce, you and I have had conversations with this, and I'm sure this is a big thing that baseball kind of looks the other way on it. I think you need to get geographical things in this thing. If the A's are playing the Giants more often, if they were playing the Dodgers more often, in a division or something, I think the attendance would start to climb up. People would be going to see the A's. I think in Pittsburgh, if it was the Phillies in this mix, it might have been, you know, Cleveland, some of these cities here that are proximity to where Pittsburgh is, the attendance would shoot up. But I just think baseball fails to look at this, and that's the one thing. If I'm a commissioner of the league, Bruce, I'll give it to you first, and Scott, you gotta look at proximity of destinations here to get attendance figures up. Any thought to that, Bruce?
I am somewhat in agreement with you, and the Giants and A's do actually, well, at least when I went, they had good attendance last year. I don't know what it's going to be like this year, with, you know, the ownership mistreating fans and city alike in Oakland. And the Dodgers and the Giants always do draw, as do the Padres. I think right now, at least in the West, you're fine. You don't have that. I don't think you have that problem with, except with Oakland, and that has everything to do with management. I don't know whether that can be cured by just regional games. We'll see. I mean, the Giants haven't played the A's yet. I tend to agree with you, but I don't know about, and I recognize, to say, this Colorado City series that's coming up. I was at a Colorado game during the day, and a very beautiful day, et cetera, et cetera. Or no, it wasn't Colorado, it was New York. But it was, anyway, the Colorado attendance doesn't traditionally get high with the Giants. And I also noticed when I was watching Rockies games, there weren't people there. I see that to an extent, but I don't know that you should have overkill with too many teams playing each other for more games than necessary. I do agree with Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, though. There should be more there because you've now separated the divisions. So I don't know that it's a cure-all, but I do see it. You know, you don't have Toronto and Montreal like you used to. So I can see that. I don't object to the idea of maybe experimenting it with it. I mean, baseball is experimenting with everything now. You might as well. Right. Your opinion, Scott.
Well, here's the deal. I think Pittsburgh's a big-time overreaction, and I can tell you one thing. Pittsburgh fans are just great fans. Give them. If the Pirates are competitive year in and year out, you know, the Pirates' attendance will take care of itself. You know, they're a blue-collar town, and they want, in my opinion, to see good baseball. And the problem with Pittsburgh is they, you know, they've been tight-fisted with the checkbook. And, you know, I believe that Pittsburgh's an excellent baseball town. Give the fans something good to see. And I think a lot of those attendance figures that you guys are talking about to me, you know, they won't be as bad as they are perceived. Now, let's talk about Wisconsin for a moment, okay? And I should point out that on the 13th of June, we'll be launching Fire Up Wisconsin, and the main co-host will be Eric Katz and Candy Ebling, myself and Mark. But last night, for example, when San Diego visited Milwaukee, you want to talk about one of the big sleepers in baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers put 30,019 fans against San Diego last night, and they lost 7-0. So, you know what? I am not buying it. If you can put together a competitive product year in and year out, the fans are going to come. I realize nowadays you have more ways to watch it on TV. I get it. You're streaming it. You're watching it on TV. But, you know, let's face it, a couple of these areas that are having bad attendance are either, one, attributed to the stadium being in bad locations, or two, they're doormat stadiums like you have in Oakland as well as Tampa. And I think some of those things get resolved as a matter of time. You got to understand, in Oakland, Bruce, isn't your expiration date 20, 24. So I think Rob Manfred won't extend to that Oakland Coliseum, I don't think, any longer. And let's face it, St. Petersburg at the over expiration date of 2027. So at what point do these things get resolved until ultimately you have expansion coming into play? But, yeah, you make a good point, though, that if you had Montreal and Toronto in the same division, you know. But, again, these stadiums got to get built before we think about attendance, because you have Nashville and Charlotte waiting in the wings. But even then, they don't have MLB-ready stadiums. So what are you going to do? So I guess to make a long story short, if I'm capable of even doing that, okay, if you put together a good product that where your team is competing and contending year in and year out, you know, they always say if you build it, they will come. Well, if you win or you're competitive, they will come too. And I think you have to – the product is indicative of what the paying customer is going to pay for. You know, not every area is a Milwaukee, a St. Louis, or as well. I think Detroit's a great baseball town, too. They need to continue year in and year out to put together a product on the field worth paying for. You're paying more money for parking, souvenirs, concessions, et cetera. You get the drill? All you need to do is put together a good product, the attendance things that they help, and eliminate some of the poor stadiums. Pittsburgh will take care of itself. All the Pirates need to do is win or be competitive. Don't keep having a fire sale every year. And Miami, what can I say? It's the same old story, okay? You put it down in an area where you're not close to Broward and Palm Beach County, and you know what? You're only going to be limited. And you don't have the New York Yankees, okay, bailing the Marlins out all the time. You have the Mets, but they're not drawing like the Yankees or anything else. So when I tell you enjoy the Boston Red Sox, Bruce, and enjoy the Yankees, well, enjoy it, because everything goes back to normal when these towns leave. So it's all about what you put on the field, guys. I don't care what anybody
Well, here's the thing, if I can jump in there, Scott, and talk about it, because it is what you put on the field. I understand that, but isn't Major League Baseball guilty of marketing 3-4 teams? I mean, case in point, tomorrow we got the Cubs and Cardinals on. Why is that garbage on tomorrow? Why couldn't they put the Padres and Brewers a marquee game on? The Brewers are in first place. The Padres are in second place. Why can't that game be on? Why are we watching the Cubs that are, you know, below, you know, the Pirates in the National League Central? Why is that game on? And the first thing I think about is, oh, well, everybody likes the Cardinals and Cubs regardless of the records. Why? Part of the problem is putting this garbage on, because they don't showcase the other teams. The Brewers and Padres should be a no-brainer here. You know, I always say this across the downfall of the country is today is communication, accountability, integrity. If you're trying to, you know, make money or something, I know you're trying to show the Cardinals and Cubs because you're looking at ratings, but who's watching that? Nobody's going to sit there, unless it's Chicago and St. Louis, watching that garbage. Because the Cubs are a disastrous team. They're a bottom feeder this year. I would sit there and watch the Padres and Brewers. It's exciting. Bruce, am I on to something?
Yeah, you are. I'd rather watch the Padres and Brewers. I got a vested interest in it. I mean, I guess what you're talking here is, oh, well, this is tradition. Okay, well, it's a tradition. It's not a good tradition this year. You're right. They should be showing the Padres and the Brewers. I don't understand it. I guess it's just going with tradition. And I'm sorry, sticking with tradition a lot for a while is just not good. Period. So yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Mark. That's bad marketing.
Scott, well, your thought on it? You've watched baseball. Why are we subject to watching this garbage tomorrow?
Well, you're really stuck between a rock and a hard place, as you guys talked about. Yeah, you certainly want to have tradition with the Cubs and the Cardinals. I can appreciate that. It's not like the NFL where you have flex scheduling and anything like that. But again, you know, when you look at San Diego and Milwaukee being smaller markets, they're trying to get eyes on there, because you got to remember, they're selling advertising as well. And when you talk about revenue streams, you know, do you think you're really going to get a lot further with the the traditional game? So I see your point. I think they're valid. I think when you look at San Diego, Milwaukee on service, yeah, it's a much better matchup. But you got to remember where your bread is buttered. And you're talking about Chicago over San Diego. You're talking about St. Louis over Milwaukee. I think it's unfair, But the reality is you guys are right. They should be marketing. But you remember this, okay, they don't have flat scheduling in Major League Baseball. These games are set up way in advance. That doesn't mean that other teams won't get on later in the year, obviously, as a, that they can switch them around a little bit anytime that they want to when you find out who the pretenders are and all that. Because if you want to sit there and say you want to market, I would think Miami would be a good market as well because you have South Beach and the Miami market. But the problem is the Marlins, you know, and I would love to see Sandy Alcantara on at night. I would certainly love to see the Tigers when they get Casey Mize back. To me, it just depends. Now, for example, tomorrow on Peacock at 11 a.m., the streaming service, you got the Tigers and the Yankees, who in their right mind wouldn't want to watch that, at least from a traditionalist standpoint. The Tigers and the Yankees have been around forever. Your first Hall of Fame class had Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb and Luke Garrett in it. So, you know, again, you know, I just did a show earlier in the week on the Mount Rushmore of baseball, the non-pitchers, and I'll be doing another series on the pitchers. So a lot of your history is centered around these kinds of people. So I see where you're coming from. I think perception is, Bruce and Mark, you're right, San Diego, Milwaukee would be better. But reality is you're going to go with tradition, and tradition usually trumps. That's what I think.
And, dude, let me throw this in. There is a little bit of interest in the fact that you do have Goldschmidt in the middle of a hitting streak. But I don't – as singularly, I don't think that should persuade them to have the Cardinals and the Cubs on. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, the problem here is, guys, and you bring up some interesting points, both of you, and as we start to tear this show up, over 300 live listens, thanks for everybody contributing and checking out the show. But the problem is we're force-fed, and baseball's got a serious problem on this. Not only, you know the way it's run with you know, having a ghost runner here at second base and all this other stuff and extra innings, but the big problem is we're force-fed the Yankees every week, the Mets every week, the Dodgers, you know, the Cubs. And if you want to get your sport up there, you got 30-something teams in your league, you can't stand here and showcase four or five teams and not showcase the other 20-something teams. And that's the problem. That's the downfall of baseball. I don't care any way you slice, cut this, or whatever. If you've got an identity, if you're running a business and you showcase four guys and you don't give those other 20-something their props, they're going to leave you. They're going to go do their own thing. Unfortunately, you can't do that in baseball. A team just can't go and start their own, you know, division and everything. But the problem is they're just sitting there and they're not marketing these teams. And I don't care if there's tradition to the certain extent of, okay, you know, a lot of people want to see the Yankees. A lot of people do this. The NFL doesn't do this, guys. The NFL on Thursday showcases every one of their teams every Thursday. I don't see the Cowboys on there, you know, six times on a Thursday. I don't see the Raiders on there, the Steelers or the Packers. They make sure they showcase everybody. People might not like it, but if you're a fan of any one of those teams, you're showcased every week on a Thursday to get your name out there. They don't do that in baseball, and that's a big problem. It starts with the top. Rob Manfred's an idiot.
Not necessarily, Mark, because you know what? You want to know something interesting, Mark and Bruce? The Detroit Lions never got a Thursday night game. We're just lucky we got the Thanksgiving game. They're the only one that never got a primetime game this year, so we're lucky to get Thanksgiving. Not that our record is horrible anyhow, but think about it. Once upon a time, the Lions and the Packers, and it was a game I was at on my wife's birthday, I'll never forget. The old Hail Mary with Rodgers winning it at the very end? And I was at that game. And I was telling my colleague George Eichhorn on the Michigan show, I have a feeling something bad's going to happen when the Lions had that penalty. And lo and behold, Rodgers threw a deep. So I wouldn't necessarily say that. Now, Mark, I will give
Hold that thought. You still were on a Thursday, regardless if it was Thanksgiving or not. You're still showcased, right? Am I right?
Oh, come on.
When are the Pirates on a Sunday night baseball? Or when are the Rockies on a Sunday night baseball? Or when are the Orioles on a Sunday night baseball?
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Hold on, Mark. Sorry, Bruce. The Orioles haven't been relevant forever, okay? I'll bet I have a lot of...
Who cares? They're still a Major League Baseball team.
No, not necessarily. Some of them actually border around AAA baseball, depending on what you actually see. So let me go back to my other point here, Mark, okay? First of all, getting back to the Packers, okay? You know, here's the thing. Yeah, we're lucky that we are on Thanksgiving, and the Kansas City Chiefs wanted to get rid of it. But I had a conversation with Jerry Jones when I was living in Arizona, and he said to me, Scott, and he said it to my face over at Sun Devil Stadium, I will guarantee you, Scott, that the Cowboys and the Lions will not lose their game. So what do you think ended up happening? They got the nighttime game. So you know what? I understand the sentiments for Pittsburgh. Well, I will, but I'm trying to help you out, Mark. I'm trying to give you credibility. Back in the day, years ago, when the NBA was on tape delay a little before, and they featured the 76ers, the Celtics, and a couple of other teams,
yeah,
and there were only 16 presented, that's where your point makes sense. So I'm trying to help you, Mark and Bruce. I really am. Okay, they don't
okay
have
Bruce, you get this floor. We're down to 10 minutes. We want to make sure we swing this. Bruce, you throw some sense in it, because I'm going to definitely bring the blowtorch to this after you, Bruce.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be very short. You're going to have your get your blow acetylene going, turn the knob. I got, as far as overly featured teams, I can't watch the Yankees, and this goes back a long way. You saw the Yankees all the time. I don't watch Yankee games. I can't stand the Yankees anymore. There is overkill with the Yankees, and there it is. I'll stop right there. If you have a lot of teams that are you seeing all the time, you will get sick of them. That's my
well,
my
you brought, and I'll give it back over to you, Scott, in a minute, but that's why the best sport across the board, and you guys can disagree on this, is hockey. Hockey knows how to market it. Hockey knows how to push it to the forefront. Everybody gets a chance. You start to see what they're doing. And now, I don't know, I was part of the Phoenix thing the other day, see if they settled that thing in Arizona to give the Coyotes a nice lakeside front there in, I believe it's Mesa or Tempe. So they're going to get something there, it looks like. Hockey solidified. I mean, hockey markets their teams. And it comes down to the commissioner running it. Bettman's a good, commissioner. When I look at these other guys, Silver doesn't know how to run the NBA, and Manfred doesn't know how to run Major League Baseball. Look at it. Just look at the way it's run. I mean, we don't need to be force-fed. I'm not sitting around watching the Yankees, play the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm not. I don't care. I'm just not sitting around there watching it. Now, I doing radio and everything like you guys do, you know, sometimes you got to keep an eye on the scoreboard or whatever, but that's okay. I'm not sitting there watching nine innings of Tampa Bay play Boston or Tampa Bay play the Yankees. I'm just sick and tired of those teams, watching them all the time. Now, give me the Pirates and Rockies. Give me the Pirates and Diamondbacks. And I'm sure Bruce would say give them the Giants and somebody. But if you don't market teams, how are you selling merchandise for these teams? That's why the Yankees, the Dodgers, their hats sell and everything, because they're marketed. If you don't market these other teams, then nobody's buying the stuff, and you're shooting yourself in the foot, Scott.
Well, here's the thing. The Florida Panthers only got a nationally televised game later in the year, and they weren't even featured on national television for the last couple of years because they haven't been any good on the ice. So part of that's attributed to it. Now, the last couple of years, they've actually done a little bit better. I agree with hockey, though. They are doing a much better job being able to market them as well. So, but again, you got TNT and you got ESPN doing a good job getting a lot of them. Even the original six teams, the Detroit Red Wings, get love. But again, who doesn't want to see the Red Wings anyways, because they won 11 Stanley Cup championships. So hockey does well. The NFL does well. But I think part of this is going to get straightened next year, though, when you don't have 18 division games amongst these teams anyhow, and you start to see different matchups where television might gravitate to seeing different matchups. So I think you might want to pay attention to the schedule as well. So next year, we're only talking about 22. Next year, when teams are only playing each other maybe 12 times versus 18, then maybe that might shift a little bit. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, the NFL is unbelievable. They do what they've got to do, get as many teams on as they can. Hockey does a pretty good job. But, you know, again, it all depends on the performance as well. So, I mean, do you think that Green Bay Packers are overkill? I would think not. Who the heck wouldn't want to watch the Packers? They're the only team that's never been overseas until this year. So, you know, I guess it just depends on the sport, the matchup, and who you are. But, yeah, you do have to
– Well, that's an overkill there too, Scott, as we give it back over to Bruce too, because I'm not sitting there on a Monday night watching the Packers and Bears or the Bears and Vikings and crap. That stuff is just like the Yankees and Red Sox. It really is. If you look at the NFL schedule, guys, and you go back – the last few years, and you can probably go back 5 to 10, the damn Packers and Vikings or Packers and Bears are on every friggin' Monday night at least once a year, Bruce.
Yeah, I guess it's those traditional interdivisional rivalries
yeah.
to get them on there. And, yeah, watching the Bears is tough against anybody. They actually qualify as boring. They're boring.
Yeah, they're horrendous,
really
but
boring.
Somebody in Chicago that's running the studio there says, hey, man, I got to get my Bears on. I'm working tonight. You know, let's get my Bears on at least once a year here. I guarantee you, if you look at the schedule now, it'll be the Packers and Vikings, Vikings, Bears, Vikings, Packers across the board. I mean, it's always one of those teams, and people don't realize, gee, come on, man, put the Cowboys and Packers on a Monday night. You know, put something like that on that's going to get their attention. We don't order the Cowboys and Raiders. Change it up here. Get something going. I'm not sitting around on a Monday night watching the Vikings and Packers. I'm not sitting here watching the Chiefs and Broncos. I'm not doing that because it doesn't do any interest in me. Even my own Steelers, you know, playing the Bengals would you know on a Monday night. Okay, but the other teams that I just mentioned, if you look at it, Scott and Bruce. And I'll give it to you, Scott, as we wind this thing down, and we're approaching 400. It's ridiculous to see this thing every year being put out for us.
Well, Mark, you do make relevant points, okay? Interdivision games are only brought up there because they tend to think that the games are a lot more competitive. Would I love to see a matchup in the conference against two elite teams? No doubt about it. You got a bullseye there. Yeah, I'd love to see the Cowboys and the Packers or anything or an interconference game. You know, outside of the conference, amongst these elite teams. There's no question about there. You know, and, again, you can't debate that. So, again, I'm trying to think of the minds of the networking, the networks where they think they're going to get more competitive. Do I necessarily think that those are right? No. Now, would I want to see the Packers and the Bears? That's a different animal. They played forever. And, you know, you have to be selective of the matchup. But, you know, again, you do have to go ahead and feature the Mike Trouts a little bit more, and you have to feature a lot of these other guys across the sports world. You know, Connor McDavid, say what you want about him being in Canada, but and then the Colorado guy, was his name McCrimmon, that we don't know a whole lot about. So I think there's no question that as you look at the talent base across the sports, that a lot of these places can do a lot better job. So I'm not downplaying that, but I'm just trying to take you inside of the minds of the networking, the networks for say that they think the divisional games are better, but I don't necessarily agree. I think that the matchups universally will certainly address a lot of those things as well. No doubt.
For instance, for tomorrow, if you're not going to show the Padres and Brewers, how come you're not showing the Mets and Dodgers? How come you're not showing the Angels and Phillies? You know, those three can compete with the Cardinals and Cubs, but some idiot sitting out there figures, you know what, I got to get my Cardinals and Cubs on there. You know, that's the only thing I can think of because I've seen this thing play out, and this thing plays out not once a year, and we're winding it down, so I got to cut it down. It plays out twice, three times a year that I'm force-fed the Cubs and Cardinals watching it. The Cubs are horrendous. I don't need to sit there. I'm not watching it. You know, that's the bottom line. Bruce, as we give it over to you, you're involved with a lot. How can people get a hold of you, my good friend, till next week?
That is, you can catch me on my email, which is holyroller91978@gmail.com, or I am on Facebook.
And Scott,
yes,
I know you've got a lot of things to talk about. As we give it over to you, involved across the ways, let everybody know how they can reach you and what you're doing this coming week.
All right. Well, www.southfloridatribune.com takes you everything I have, but that's the website, www.southfloridatribune.com, southfloridatribune@gmail.com, Twitter @TribuneSouth. But most of all, folks, please help us out. Subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Mark Mancini and I have a lot going on in the works, and we'll have a lot more coming down the pipeline. So, of course, enjoy being on this show every Saturday. It's an awful lot of fun with you guys. Couldn't think of two better co-hosts to be with than you two guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you very much for that compliment. And that's what it is.
I've only been in the business 42 years. So,
yeah.
So if you don't think I've been around people 42 years should help you realize that Mark and Bruce are A1 in my book, and I'm not talking about the software mistakes either. So,
relationships are priceless, and Bruce is a great guy out there in Oakland. He's done wonders. He's got the expertise and experience, just like you, Scott, there in Florida, and looking forward to a lot of things. Looking forward to this show next Saturday, and thanks to the listeners as they keep blowing it up each and every week. We are just so blessed across the boards. So for Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, Scott Morgenroth in Miami, here's truly Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. The three of us wish you a safe and happy weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. Catch this archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Till then, have a blessed one, guys.